Welcome to Westgate Messages Plus, where we share our Sunday messages and bonus content. We hope you enjoy this deeper dive into God's Word and how it transforms our everyday lives. Thanks so much for tuning in.
You may be seated. I just want to tell you, I have the privilege to every week show up here and work with an incredible staff. And it is such a joy, such a good thing. And I wanted just to mention, as we have just gone through this and just you had a chance to hear Allison and her heart, she has for the last year been our nursery and expecting parent staff person and has watched over and cared for and loved this age group of families. And we're so grateful for you. And she's pulling back from that this year. And we're just going to say God bless you as God leads you in the things to come. I also want to say that also creates an opening. So if God is leading in any way, or you know someone who might fit that, talk to Allison. She knows what this encompasses completely. But give us a call or let us know. I also want to just say a few other things as we kind of move into this, and that is that Annie F. Downs and Carlos Whitaker, who will be coming, they come June 8th. It's really before we begin a series called Enjoy Life. They talk about enjoying life with God and what that looks like, and they have fun, and it's really a great thing. There's already over 400 that have bought tickets and signed up. If you would like to come to that, that's kind of filling up. We would love for you to get in on that. Just go online and go ahead and grab that ticket. We'd love to have you be a part of that. And then one last thing I want to share, and that is, where is this here? We have our, you'll see, it's, if you didn't get it this last week, you'll get it through emails that are coming. Luke spoke about, as we move into the end of our year here at the end of June, that we have a congregational meeting coming up on the 11th, and we're hoping to end well, and you can grab this on the way out. If we end the year well, where our expenses meet our income, anything over that, we're putting into projects that are dearly needed. So take a look at that, and if you would like to even help us that in any way with any of those projects, please let me know. I've already had a chance to talk to a couple people about that, that they kind of want to say, over and above, God's calling me to do this, so we'd love for you to be a part of that as well. Okay. Now to look at my notes. I need my notes here. I left a page. No, I think it's down here. Here we go. Okay, camera, I'm coming back in. To those of you online, here I'm back. I do need this because I wrote this down. I had seen a little video. My wife had sent it to me, but I'd heard from other people about Maycember. Anybody heard of Maycember before? Parents, if you're young parents, you've probably heard about this. They talk about the craziness of December without the kind of twinkle and glitter rolled into what is happening usually in December. It's all happening in a sense of May, this tiny three-letter word month. May encapsulates all these things that causes moms and families, but especially moms, to be really busy. There's a great parody of it. It's you know the song September, Earth, Wind, and Fire? There's one, if you go online, called Maycember, and on that September kind of basis, where they talk about the end of the school year. It's a calendar calamity and a banquet and covered dish you have to make for it, a school picnic, you must bring a blanket because you're going to be there all day, a field trip, you volunteered to clean up, a dance, you're chaperoning, you have band recital, science projects due, final exams coming up to study for. You have soccer practice that's starting up. You have baseball if your kids are in that. You also have to remember the teacher's gift. And that whole idea is that, you know, like in this time with all this going on, all of a sudden cold going around and you catch it. I mean, it's just like, what else could you add to this month of May? Well, you could add VBS sign up and summer camp you need to do because you don't want to be late on that, right? And it just keeps adding up and adding up. And so on this Mother's Day, I have decided not to add one more responsibility to you in this message. Okay? Just need to know. If you're tired, I just want you to sit back, enjoy, relax. If you need to sleep, I will not be offended, moms. Because this message is for kids and for dads. Yeah, all right. Let's hear that, moms, right? For kids and dads. What I want you to know is that if we look at this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, we've been talking about control, C, which is this idea of imitate God, copy God. Starts in chapter 5, gets to chapter verse 18 and on, and he starts talking about here's how you actually do this. You are filled with the Spirit. And then he goes through how this works itself out in the marriage, in the family, and then in your work world. So I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to read this together, or I'll read it to you and have you stand as we just honor God and his word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. There's another translation, and I like this, the message. Children, do what your parents tell you. This is only right. Honor your father and mothers is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it, namely, that you will live well and have a long life. Fathers, don't frustrate your children with no-win scenarios. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, just open our hearts and our ears that we might hear what you have to say to your people. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. We're going to take a look at this and probably have to go through a lot of this rather quickly. This whole idea is there's a mutual responsibility. Verse 21 says, submit to one another in the Lord. And that spurs Paul into a direction of what are household codes, which are found. Aristotle has them in his one book, The Politics, and there's others in Greco-Roman world where they lay it out, and they always lay it out with the person who is in power first. Well, Paul turns that around and says, I want to address first those who do not have power, who could be abused, and whose rights could be stepped on. So he begins with women, and then he goes to children, and then he goes to slaves, if you want to put it, employees. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, this idea, submit to one another in the Lord, in reverence to the Lord, even applies to you as children. So as we look at this, he says, for in the Lord. He's saying you have a responsibility. And that responsibility, kids, in this period of time in your life, is obedience. You are primarily, he says, in the Lord, submitting to the Lord and to your parents. This whole letter is about identity. And it's not just about us as adults who have an identity in Christ. Kids have an identity in Christ. And so they also submit in reverence to the Lord. And parents, on the same token, especially fathers, and I'll talk about it in a moment, fathers also submit to the Lord in this way. They are to be actively engaged in bringing up their kids. And he gives you two things that they should be really doing. So are you ready to get into it? Okay, let's do that. First is this. The responsibility of children is obedience. And it says, obey, children, your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He's speaking here. The word he uses is not some word for some little child. He's talking about, it's a word that's a techno, which means for all children. In the sense, it's those who have come to an age where they understand what it means to follow directions and obey, to the age where you are older. And that can vary in culture to culture, where you are at a point where you're no longer under your parents' supervision. You're not under their care. You've moved out of the house and not moved back in again, and then moved out, and then moved back in again, and you're there to stay. You're still under their supervision. No. So that's what he's talking about. He's saying children. He defines that very clearly. It's that age from when you can understand how to obey and what it means to obey to the age where you're still under your parents. And what you're called to do is obey. The idea, the word is a word called hupakouo in the Greek, which means under and to listen, to pay attention, to hear. And so in a sense, he's saying what I want you to do is to listen because you are underneath authority. There is someone over you. And you're to do this in the Lord. And in the Lord means a couple of things. In the Lord means, one, you are to do it in reverence because your identity is in him, just like your parents' identity is in him, which should really make a huge difference if we're all listening to Jesus. But he says also in the Lord, because he wants to make this clear to kids, there are things that you need to be aware of that are not in the Lord. If you are older and you are in a situation where your parents are asking you to do something morally wrong, that is not in the Lord. If you are in a situation where someone is physically or sexually abusing you, and I don't care if it's a parent or a relative, you do not submit to that. You do not obey that. You step outside because in the Lord, he calls you to a higher identity. And so he's making this thing very clear to those who are kids. Your job is to listen because your parents are under authority. And he says, this is right, which is, you know, you could say, what does it mean that this is right? He's primarily saying, this is the order of creation. This is how he's put things together. If you look at any kind of animal in creation, most animals in creation, they have a period of time where they give birth and they care for and they nurture their little ones, and eventually their little ones, they chase out of their area, right? What does an eagle do? You're out now. Learn to fly. And so he's basically saying it's the right thing to do because that's the way it works. In our culture, we usually say that's from about age 0 to about age 18. You are under the authority, and you are to be obedient to your parents. And obedience is an interesting word because obedience, in this sense, has to do with actions. So you act in obedience. Clean your room. I don't want to do it, but they said, and I act in obedience. Or I don't want you kids at the dinner table, no smartphones. Anybody have a rule like that? How many do you see? That's not the action of obedience is what he calls for here. But he's really smart. He's listening to the Spirit of God as he writes this, and he goes, you know what? Also honor your father and mother. He moves from beyond actions of obedience to the heart. Honor is an attitude of respect that you give to someone. You are called to be obedient to a point where you are out of the house. You will always be called to honor your father and mother. Honoring is about respect. It is this idea that they hold a position, and you may have had, and I've dealt with in counseling, someone who have had horrific parents, and they go, how in the world can I honor them? And I say, in this way, they are your parents and hold a position as being your parents, and they gave you birth. You can honor that because we're called to honor. The idea of obedience being actions and honor being attitudes is critical. So you heard the story of the little boy. The mother was having a tough time, says to the little boy, okay, you got to, please, you're going to sit in a chair for 3 minutes. And the kid looks at her with defiance in his eyes. And he says, okay, I'll go sit down in this chair on the outside, but in the inside, I'm standing up. Anybody had that? I heard that? That's cute when they're about 3 or 4. Not so cute when they're 16, 17. Where that attitude is one of defiance to authority. They may obey and follow the rules, but God is always, Jesus, if you go to the New Testament, Jesus is always going to the Pharisees who are kind of the fathers of the faith, and he's saying to them, you guys, all you're doing is acting and obedient, and your hearts are so far from God. Your attitudes are so far. God, Jesus, loves you so much. He wants both your attitudes and honor, and he wants your actions and obedience. And he makes this promise. He says, you know, it's the first commandment that comes with a promise. There's two rewards that are brought to this commandment. One is quality of life, and the other is quantity of life. He says, you know, if you begin to obey and you honor and you begin to fulfill that, you actually will find in your life that things will go better. The quality of your life will be better. For instance, if your parents set a curfew and you come home on time, that's a good thing. You're building trust, and they might give you more responsibility. In fact, they might say, you know, you came home at 1 o'clock. No, okay. At 10 o'clock when I said so. You know, we can do 11. They begin to trust your responsibility. But if you go 10 o'clock, there's no way I'm doing it, and you come in at 11 on your own, you're going to have your, you know, rights restricted. Your freedom will be taken away. He says, live in such a way that you enhance and improve the quality of your life. And live in such a way that it also improves the quantity of your life. Do you know that when you are in places of disobedience and things like that, you secrete some adrenaline, because in adrenaline there's a bit of fear? Some people live so much of their life in that way, it actually goes against, and you can look at medical study after medical study, when you are living in a place of a resentful heart, or you're living in a rebellious heart, you look at those kind of ways of living, they actually cut short your life. They actually hurt your internal organs. And so it's pretty simple. Obey. I want you, children. And I say this to you because parents, they're going to follow you. Like I always say, you know, the things of God are caught often, not taught. You can teach all you want, but parents, if your attitude of life is one of defiance towards authority, whether it's an inward complaining and you mumble and grumble, you know how I can do that, at work, let's say, or in some other place where you have authority, or even in relationship with God, or authorities with even in the church, whatever it is, you can do that inwardly, but you can also do it outwardly, where you kind of mumble and grumble and you complain to others. Your kids are going to see that, and they're going to follow it. I have to share one other thing about I love about Jesus. Jesus was such a perfect and good son in this way. And I want you to hear the human side of who he is. He's both fully God and fully man, right? We like to sometimes just always go to the fully God side. Here's the fully man side. Jesus, at 12 years of age, has a revelation of his own identity. His identity is that he is going to be especially used by his father. He's heard stories from the mother, but now when he's in Jerusalem, he hears it and he starts talking. He understands he's becoming a man. That's the initiation to manhood around 12 years of age. He knows that God has a job for him, an assignment for him. Can you imagine how excited he is as a 12-year-old? And then tradition tells us about 15 years of age, Joseph, his father, dies. What happens in that culture is the son who is the oldest becomes like the father in the household, where he takes care of mom and the rest of the kids. So Joseph had a construction business. It was called Joseph and Sons. We know that's from some extant literature. I made that up. Okay. But he has to take over the Joseph and Sons construction company. For 15 years, he submits to his father and to the custom and traditions of his people. Think about that. He's 25 and he's going, I don't want to build another chair. I say this to you as children of God, as parents and adults. You are, some of you, sitting in a situation like Jesus right now, and things have changed, and it's been like 12 years, and you're going, I feel that this is what you've called me to. And he's saying, will you learn obedience through suffering? Because listen to what it says. I'll find it somewhere in my notes here. It says, during the days, in Hebrews 5, 7 through 9, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered and was made perfect or mature, full, complete, and became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. You will become a source of a blessing when you begin to submit as a son or daughter to the Father. And when you begin to experience the fact that you will sometimes learn suffering, and you'll learn obedience through suffering. And I just do it with an attitude that is joyful and submitted to your Father. Okay. Parents. Real quickly, you could use the word parents rather than father here. You go to Hebrews 11, what verse it is, 18, I think it is in my notes. It's this idea that he says by faith, his father hid Moses. It's the word pater in Greek, which they translate his parents. Because we know in Exodus, his mother hid him. So there's a way that you could say this could be parents, but I don't think it is. I think in this culture, in that day, he was writing to fathers who had absolute power over the entire family. If you don't understand this about the culture, you will miss a lot of the writings in the New Testament. Women, children, and slaves were property of the father. There is a thing called pater potestas. And that gave him absolute right in the Roman Greco world. And so, I mean, read you this really quickly. It was so fun doing all this other stuff pre-service that it left me at this point. Okay. When a child was born, it was placed at his father's feet. And this is in classical literature. He was placed at his father's feet to determine the child's fate. If his father picked it up, the child was allowed to stay in the home. If the father walked away, the baby was disposed of by death, slavery, or prostitution. Don't throw that away quickly. That's the culture that Paul is writing to when he says, submit to one another in the Lord. There's one person, his name Hilarion, who was a laborer who was working in Alexandria in 1 BC. This was just before Jesus came. He writes to his wife, Alys. He says, harvest greetings. Note that we are now in Alexandria. Do not worry if when all the others return, and yet I remain in Alexandria. I beg and beseech you to take care of, and he's talking about the child she's impregnated right now, so he knows that she's with child. Take care of the little child, and as soon as we receive wages, I'll send them to you. And then he says, if you give birth to multiples, which means more than one, obviously, if there is a boy, let it live. If it's a girl, expose it, or girls. That's the kind of absolute authority. So when he says, do not exasperate your children, dads, he's speaking to a culture where they were very harsh and where they set up a rejection of authority so that two things would happen in a kid's life. They would grow up someday wanting to always reactively reject authority because they felt dominated, or they would seek for positions of authority so they could do what? Dominate others. Don't do that, dads. And he uses the word bring them up. The word bring them up is more than just, you know, kind of raise them. It's the idea of be active in their life. One of the greatest sins of fathers and husbands is passivity. I'm just going to call it out for the way it is. I know in Genesis 3, there's two different interpretations. Some say that Adam stood by and didn't take leadership. I don't think that's what happened. I think Adam stood there, you can see in the text, and passively watched it happen. I think what he's saying to fathers and to husbands in your family situation, start to bring up your child. Actively do two things. Disciple them. It's the word discipline he uses here. The word instruction is more exhort them by warnings and encouragements. And so as you have a little child, the best word for, you know, Jesus called people and discipled them, and they were called disciples. The best word for that is apprentices. Dads, you have little apprentices. Jesus discipled by trying to form in each of his disciples, the little apprentices that followed after him, his values, the way he thought, the way he did things, the way he lived, the way he reacted. He was seeking to do that in his little ones, the 12, the apprentices. And that's what you're called to do. By setting boundaries, inappropriate warnings, and then by also coming around and being actively engaged in their life so that you can encourage them, so you know when to encourage them, because you know that child. Dads, in May-cember, I'm going to call you to step in. I'm going to call you to be active and do what needs to be done, whatever it looks like, in loving your wife. I think it is so cool because even Jesus, the perfect Son, shows us also the heart of the Father. And the perfect heart of the Father is this, that Jesus left his world in heaven and came to our world, earth, in order that he would take all of you who want to be apprentices so that you could be children who would grow up to be adults who could honor God. Dads, what it means to be active is to leave your world, enter the world of your kids, and begin to live and love and train and encourage so that they have a spirit that is responsive to you and is trained to be responsive to God the Father. I'm going to ask you to just bow your head, and I'm going to ask Andrea to come. We're going to close with a really neat story of how God's been at work within our body. So, Father, boy, I just pray, my heart is just that this word, which is for me, God, as a dad, over this congregation, that God, you would cause us to be people who actively love one another. Well, I pray for grace and dads. I do really pray for rest for moms. And I pray for you kids. Some of you are in really tough situations. But I pray for you as you in the Lord obey that you would find blessing. In Christ's name, amen.